Hello, and welcome to the ONTIC Protective Intelligence Podcast. I'm Fred Burton with the ONTIC Center for Connected Intelligence. During my years as a counterterrorism agent with the U.S. State Department and time spent as a physical security expert in the private sector, I've seen it all and met many fascinating people along the way. This podcast series explores the riveting world of safety, security, and protection through conversations with leaders in the field. I'm Fred Burton, and now on to the podcast. Hi, I'm Fred Burton, here today with Robert L. Oatman. Robert is one of the preeminent providers of executive protection in the United States. His firm, R.L. Oatman & Associates, Inc., has provided executive protection risk assessments, consultation, operations, and training around the world since 1989. Mr. Oatman is a longstanding member of the American Society of Industrial Security and also established the first as-is Executive Protection Council. He chaired this council for 5 years. Mr. Oatman is also the author of several books and articles on executive protection. He trained with the United States Secret Service and supported dozens of high-level operations, including visits from Presidents Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, and Bush. In 2003, Mr. Oatman received the FBI's Director's Award for exceptional service in the public interest. Bob, welcome to the ONTIC Connected Intelligence Podcast.
Brett, thank you very much for the invitation.
Bob, I know you won't say this, but I will. You are a living legend in this industry and one of my mentors and icons. And I've been looking forward to this discussion for quite some time. I think it's important for all of us to know how we got here. So how did you get into this industry?
Well, great question to start off this adventure, if you will. Got out of high school with, I think they threw me out of high school, but I got my diploma. Then it was during the Vietnam era, and I joined the U.S. Navy and served 2 years active duty and 4 years reserve. But I knew what I didn't want to do. And then, lo and behold, I decided to apply to the police department in Baltimore County, and that would have been in 1969. And it's too long a tour because I stayed with the agency up to my 20th anniversary, and I had been working part-time in this space, and I decided with my wife's permission and the kids that I would retire at an early age. And I don't regret anything. I had a phenomenal career. I left as a major with the Criminal Investigation Division. I was chief detectives and got my four-year degree that took a four-year degree in criminal justice. It also took me 12 years. And my daughter said, you know, Dad, you can do this in 4 years. So blessed to say the least. And it's been an interesting ride to say the least. I look back now and it's been, I retired in 1989. I already had a client that didn't belong to me. And we were providing executive protection for him. And that was really a learning curve, to be quite honest, because when you're in the police department, I ran the dignitary and executive protection team for the county. And you have all those resources, right? You have, you know, you can shut down intersects, just like the Secret Service to some degree.
Sure.
But, you know, all of that was now void. A lot of this is you got to be creative and figure out what you need to do and how to do it. But it could never have happened without, you know, the decades of, you know, learning the job and doing the right thing.
Bob, looking back, would you do it again?
Oh, heck yeah, sure. Absolutely. I would say that you sort of say, how did I get here? And so if I can segue for a minute, this is kind of a interesting dynamic. So I've been credited for writing 4 books on executive protection. The very first one was called The Art of Executive Protection. So to give the right statement is I never wrote anything. He wasn't a ghostwriter. I give Peter Olhausen all of my support. He is the guy that we put through our program. He never was in this business. He was actually the editor-in-chief of Security Management Magazine at ASIS. That's how I met him. and we started a relationship. And so Peter has been instrumental in not only doing our, you know, the four books, if you will, with full disclosure, he also assists us in doing our risk assessments. He's just very gifted with his talents of writing and research and whatever. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting when you look at these things. So that was a major, I guess I was his number one client for many, many years. He just retired recently, and my daughter now is taking in that space.
Yeah, and those books, for those of you who will be listening to this podcast, I know many of you have read those books and have studied those books, and I would encourage everyone to take a look at those. Bob, as a pioneer, and I can say this, legend in our industry, what changes have you seen in the protection space since you first got in it?
Wow, that's a big leap. I tell you, the thing that probably keeps me up at night on occasion is the fact that there is so many companies in this space. Many are independent contractors. Others work for, you know, large firms, if you will. It's exploded, in my opinion. And rightly so, it has. I give credit to anybody that wants to take the opportunity to open up their own shop and, you know, get in this field. So I think that's been the most interesting dynamic. But, you know, the Chinese have a proverb, which I always start class with, may you live in interesting times. And you know this, Fred. I mean, you have decades of experience and you've been in some very hot zones and everything else. It's just become surreal to some degree. You just don't know when the next major event's going to happen. I think we all learned so much after 9/11, the lack of intelligence, the lack of a lot of things, if you will. And fast forward to where we are today and looking at Iran coming after Israel and the potential problems associated with that. And I'm not in the government spot or the government space. I'm in the private sector. And so I would say the changes that I've seen is this increase in providing protective services. Everybody seems to be in the game to some degree, others on the fringe, and others, you know, have taken their careers both in the military or law enforcement and, you know, have built out these businesses, and kudos to them. I'm a little bit different in that regard. I've had my ups and downs, and running a business is a business in and of itself. But one of the things I would say that I really changed direction, and it would go back to probably about 6 years ago, when I was told more than a few occasions that, hey, we really want you to come out and do this, you know, risk assessment for us, but we have pushback from the principals themselves. And here we're trying to keep them safe and keep them on target. And it's like a heavy lift. And the more you hear that, and the more you hear, I don't need this, it's not necessary, I can handle myself. And we began to really look at this as a business acronym, you know, treat this space as if you would in any kind of business. But if you can't do the business talk, you can't do the walk. And so we began to look at how we could not only make this more important, but acceptable. So let me segue for a moment, if I can. You know, we've been providing training since 1989, and some of these characteristics and basics haven't changed. You know, we were early in this game, and we would bring up such things. It's not about the gun. A whole chapter written at the ASIS magazine, and we look back at this and realize these things are really long-term commitments, and it's interesting. But on the acronym, I think this is the word I want to use. Where is the return on investment? Because that's what they want to hear. You know, where's the value in providing this kind of security? Not everybody has it. It may be the government, obviously, and elected officials, but I don't see the return on investment. So when you do that and you do it a correct way, I think there's defining comments and direction. And one of those is, you know, we protect the brand, no matter if it's a private family, no matter if it's a private office, and most important, corporations, both here and abroad, is you're protecting the brand. And that has become more and more critical in this day and age. The second part of that is, how do you justify a program? Well, you have to do that by finding out the risk platform. I mean, how can you provide this service if you can't get the background and the specifics right? Meaning a concentrated risk assessment with clarity to it, you know, not trying to scare anybody. If you get the narrative right, you can get the operational side right. And so I think that's important. I think the other flip side is that you're also protecting the shareholder, right? If something happens to the leadership and it could be catastrophic, I guarantee you, and there's case study after case study, there'll be a serious loss of faith, but it also is impactful to the bottom line, the shareholder, the shares. Where do they go? They go south in a dramatic way, and getting out of that ditch is no easy task. I think the other one is probably just as important. We can save an executive or an executive team really critical time. Why concentrate on your driving, which has become bizarre, obviously? Why not have an executive protection trained driver who understands the dynamics of transportation security? Having that in your war chest is a game changer. And if you can look at this in a metrics kind of way, you can come back and say, hey, for your salary, one day of your income, we can stand up a team, you know, for the cost of what it cost us to protect you and the quality of your program and your safety and security. So I think all those things, honestly, have meaning. So I'll stop and get a breath.
Bob, that was very prudent advice for anybody listening to this podcast. We'll get back to the conversation in just a moment. But first, I wanted to tell you a little bit about Ontec's Center for Connected Intelligence. In the world of safety, security, and protection, we know that gathering and sharing information is crucial. That is why we created the Ontec Center for Connected Intelligence. The center is a hub for the ongoing exchange of security strategies and best practices, insights on current and past trends, and sharing valuable information through expert discussion and analysis. It's made up of seasoned experts across a wide range of disciplines. To find blogs, podcasts, webinars, white papers, and more, check out the center by visiting ontic.co/center. That's ontic.co/center.
Tell our audience a little bit about the national certification that you have acquired.
Well, that's an opportunity of a lifetime, Fred. Thank you. You know, I've always stood up to the fact that, you know, we do our programs, I've been to programs, and you end up with a certificate of completion, which is yours. That belongs to you with the date, and it tells you who you went to, you know, to the training with. And I, for years, looked at, where is third-party validation? I mean, you get people, they'll give you accolades, or they'll, you know, give you a good review after the program has completed. And I have to tell you, it wasn't my idea. I had a young man from Alaska, from Alaska State Police, who basically went through the 7-day program that we do twice a year. And he went back to his, you know, his outfit, and he wanted to get his in-service hours back. And the post standing there, the police officer standard training, said, hey, we know, Mr. Oatman, but, you know, it works in the state of Maryland, but it doesn't work in the state of Alaska. And so he started to do research and said, it was maybe 6 months later, and said, have you ever heard of iAtlas? I said, no. He said, well, I think this is something you should look at. And I've become a member but I still won't get my hours back. And I went ahead and did my research, found out that they had been in operation over 30 years. So the initials are International Association of Directors of Law Enforcement Standards and Training. So there, this is a platform that is not only respected, but connected to the majority of post standings across this country, including sheriff's departments, corrections departments, and most specifically, police departments, both on a state level, local level, and even on a federal level. So it's quite a big lift. At first, we were reluctant to get on board, but they gave us phenomenal assistance. It's not a cheap date, but at the end of doing that process, we sent all our module, our training modules in, and it was like getting beat up with a rubber hose. It was interesting because when the documents were downloaded to the trainers, if you will, I was told there'd be three independent expert trainers who would look over our material. All three of them did not know who had what. So you get this complete independence and you wait for the results. And we were very fortunate the first run. We got our 7-day program certified. Now, what does that mean? It means that a third party, which is, again, first class to say the least, that when you complete the project and there is a pretest and there is a final exam, all that is documented, your hours are documented, you then take the exam. And at the end, in about 3 days, we send your information to IADLIS at headquarters in Iowa. And as a result of that, because of best practices and we've done the right deal, the participant will receive a digital diploma from IADLIS, and they keep their records for, I know it's hard to believe, for 30 years, as we do.
Wow. So
not only is it important, but if you go through the 3-day program, which has also been nationally certified, you get 24 hours of in-service back with no hesitation. When you go through the course, which is coming up the end of this month, the 7-day, you'll get 50 hours back of in-service. And so all of that is documented. Look, I'm really excited about others who are taking this track, you know, looking at ASIS International, which I was a big part of, and not for the certification, but, you know, I just think the people that go through the expense and all the efforts, they deserve to be recognized, but most important, be certified. So I think it's a great process. It's an expensive project and it's only good for 2 years. So we just went through our fourth time signing up and conducting all of our modules back. And they have to be new. You can't use 2 years ago training material. This has to be new. It has to be, you know, the right thing, because what they're looking for, Fred, is what we're all looking for, and that's best practices. So sure. Sorry I'm so windy, but I'm a member. I became a national instructor, and then they asked me to go for the international side because we do things outside the U.S. So it's been quite a task, but worth every effort.
Yeah, that's simply amazing. And I would imagine that if folks are interested in attending those courses, you have the ability to sign up on your website?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. So we're coming up on class 58. I mean, it's kind of surprising. So we do the 7-day program, each October and each May, each calendar year. And we stay in the dates, so we're not in conflict with, with big events or the Cowboys football attention, with those things. And so the class on our 7-day program is a residential program. So you live with us, we live with you in a hotel in Towson, Maryland, where I policed for 20 years. And it's a great venue. We come together collectively. So having that kind of environment, you're learning from each other and you're participating in all kinds of different activities. And we're very proud of it. It's well respected. And the class coming up, class 58, is full. So that's kind of neat. We try to maintain a level of no more than 56 to 50, I'm sorry, 24 to 26 participants. And yeah, so it's been really good. Our 3-day program has really taken off. And we used to do the 2-day program for ASIS, and they never wanted to do the third day because they thought that most people wouldn't be interested. We changed that formula and went from a 2-day in our program to a 3-day. So 1 day of instruction and the pretest and everything else that goes with it. The second day is hands-on. That has been a game changer for people that can only come to the 3-day program. And we're getting accolades for that. And then the third day is the last day where everything comes to culmination and you receive your certificate of completion in both the 3-day and 7-day, but you're also qualified to get the iAtlas recognition. So yeah, the 3-day has been really good. We do that once a year in West Palm Beach, Florida, and that's normally in February, go figure. And it's just been really good. And let me give a shout out because, you know, this is not a Bob Oatman voyage, if you will. I learned very early on, surround yourself with people who are way smarter than you are. That's the magic sauce. It really is. And again, the people that work with us and we work with them, you know, we're partners all the way across the board. We have so many instructors that come to the 7-day program, Dr. Welzan, a clinical psychologist, our attorney, Tom Morrow, for that part of the participation, two bomb techs that are really top notch. And most important are practitioners who are providing executive protection, both in government and the private sector. And Marvin Colson, who's just finishing up a stellar career as on the governor on the mayor's detail in Baltimore, Storm Collington, who just had to retire because of requirements with the New Jersey State Police, a rock star, a guy that just is an amazing individual. We have Dale Stonecipher, who came on board full time with us almost 7 years ago, has really taken the horn by this job. I mean, he's an amazing guy. I don't know how he keeps the pace up, if you will. And the other instructors that come in are, you know, they're in the medical field. They're doing all kinds of different drills. And the last part, I'll throw this out. I had my small business for years in Towson, Maryland. We had an office right there down the street from headquarters, if you will. And we were using a place called the Falston Airport out in Falston, Maryland, 116-acre place. And we started finally getting the opportunity to train there. They have a runway, which is great for our driving exercises, but better important is the size of the facility where we can do all kind of attack on principle drills. We can do, you know, cover and evacuate, and we're all by ourselves. So we finally, 2 years ago, the young lady that runs that business and owns that business, I asked her if we could partner with her and could we in fact invest in making this our full-time training site. And that's where Dale now has his office full-time. And it's the best place ever to train because it just gives us the opportunity to do the right thing.
Well, that's an amazing journey, Bob. As you look out over the horizon, what do you see as a future of protection?
Gosh, what a great story. And not to say I'll have the right answer, but I would tell you this. I gave this to a major defense contractor, long-term customers of ours. And, you know, we sit back and kind of wonder, you know, what's next, right? When's the next shoe going to drop? And I'd have to say that here's what I put down. I said, we've all been following the events that are taking place around the globe. And this is most recently, obviously, what's happened in Israel and the Gaza Strip. And there is domestic unrest with issues such as gun control, abortion rights, racism, and the economy. With so many issues on the table, companies are being forced to take sides or express opinions, which can lead to negative connotations for anyone who takes the opposite opinion. Any of these issues can force an adversary to cause terrible damage, right? This era of elevated risk has increased the need for EP for our executives that hold offices such as the chief executive officer, the chief operating officer, and the chief financial officer, all executives that are in the public eye and are called upon to issue public statements, all of whom could be faced with an attack from someone who has transferred their anger to one of these executives. And so we know the danger out here. The dynamic that I think has really been a game changer is these individuals are going to the homes. This is unprecedented. We saw it with the Supreme Court, with the decision about abortion, going to the Supreme Court's home and demonstrating and using bullhorns and frightening the family members. You know, if people in this space don't understand the tentacles and the concern of where this thing can go, you're in the wrong business. You know, we're in the risk mitigation business. We're not in the reaction business. And so I think that, honestly, you really have to take a look at where the families live, the children go to school, all those things that can be so impactful. What we saw just yesterday, and in these things are just, they happen so quick, as we all know. You know, the Golden State Bridge in California, they shut that down for hours upon hours. What happens to emergency help that can't get through the bottleneck? Then it sprung up in New York, go figure, right? And other places where these activists are. So you got to have your finger on the pulse. And this is why I'm super impressed with your company. I have to tell you, you've got some star players, including yourself, obviously, but having that real-time intelligence is a game changer. And if you don't have it, then you're really working without a compass. You're working in the dark. And having the credibility of people who are operationally in this space, like you all, it's dynamic. And we're following you very closely. We're excited about your success, but man, you know, your deliverables are what we really are impressed with.
Bob, it's been a true honor and a pleasure to have you on the ONTIC Connected Intelligence Podcast.
Well, I thank you for your time and wishing all of you safe travels and hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Bob.
This episode was brought to you by the ONTIC Center for Connected Intelligence. Learn more at ontic.co/center. Again, that's ontic.co/center. It was produced by AJ McKeon. Our music is a track called Monte Verde Ride and was written by Brian Bristow and performed by Smokin' Novas. Check them out on Spotify. Please remember to rate and review our podcast on iTunes and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have questions, we'd love to hear them. You can reach us at podcasts@ontic.co or visit ontic.co/center for more information. Thanks for listening.